Welcome to What the Fuck Yoga Podcast.
I'm your host, Anna.
And I'm your other host, Katie. And today we have a special guest on our show. Erin Motz of Bad Yogi is here with
us.
Not here, but she's in France.
Not actually here. Very far away.
Very far away. 8 hours away? 7 hours?
I don't know.
Well, time-wise.
Pretty far.
But we are so freaking excited. Erin is the founder of BadYogi.com, and her website offers a wealth of information, blog posts, a magazine, classes, courses, and
all of the things.
And her videos are so charming and hilarious and full of bloopers, which just makes
so
me
funny.
Feel like a normal human being
because
my life is a blooper. So to see her just kind of rocking that out is awesome.
Totally.
Yeah. I found out about Erin about a year and a half ago, maybe, through her Perfect Body Yoga program. It's awesome. It's a series of videos that are accessible for everybody and really push you, and they are easy to fit into the day. I love doing them, and I still do them today. And yeah, we're just so excited to have her on.
So excited. Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and to chat.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. I found you through Katie, actually. So Katie told
me
about you. Yeah, thanks. I owe you. I owe you big time. So, like, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, I started following you on Instagram and all that, and I love your videos. They're so funny and just so easy to relate to. And then I decided I should probably try one of your classes before we interview you. So Saturday, so a couple days ago, I did your handstand tutorial. It's like a short, like 20-minute video, part of your intermediate series, I think.
And yeah. Oh, the falling one.
Yes. Yeah. It was how to fall out a handstand, which is like my struggle bus at the moment. So like handstands are like pretty new for me, but I've been like, I'm going to do it. And every tutorial I've watched, even handstand workshops that I've taken, they just say cartwheel out. Just cartwheel out, like shift your hips, cartwheel out. And I'm like, I don't know how to do a cartwheel. That makes no sense for me. So I've never gotten away from the wall. And then you mentioned in your video, like, your hands aren't stuck. You can move your hands. Just move your hand. And like something clicked. And it's the first time I've ever fallen safely out of handstand. So thank you.
That's so cool. It's funny because I taught that in a workshop just a few weeks ago when I was up in England, and somebody said the exact same thing that we actually, well, in my workshops when I teach this, we actually do cartwheels and usually cartwheels are a total disaster. Like nobody can do a cartwheel, but like we can all do a version of it, a variation of it, even if it's really sloppy and pathetic looking, we could do a variation of it. And no matter how sloppy it is, it trains your body how to move in that direction. So it's like, if you can just move your hands, even if you're not getting your legs all the way up and over, you kind of get the movement down, and that's all you really need to come out of it safely or to cartwheel out, you know. But yeah, I'm glad it was helpful.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It was seriously the biggest breakthrough I've had with handstands so far. So thank you.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So again, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Or in France.
Yeah, I guess you're not really with us.
You know, just taking time out of your day.
So how's your day going?
Yeah, how
what
is
did
your
you
day?
Do today in France?
Okay, today I pathetically have not left my house, I don't think, because I had lots of filming to do. I had Q&As to film and then some like fun videos to film for social media and got caught up with that. And then I forget what else I did, but all in-house stuff, you know, boring things. And
still super.
Yeah, and then I just ate a late dinner and I had to, that's why I needed 10 minutes.
Oh,
I was like, I'm shoving
that's
it.
Okay.
Okay.
Totally.
So yeah. It's been a busy day, but that's it. Really, like, so uninspired, unimaginative. I didn't even do yoga today. That is how my day was.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
What time is it by you?
So it's 8:18 right now. So are you, you're on the East Coast, right?
No.
Central.
We're
just out of Chicago.
Yeah.
So it's 1:18.
Okay, okay.
1:18.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Usually here though, like a typical day, I do go outside, and especially now in this city, we have, yes, usually, Right now in most of Europe, I think we have the Christmas markets, which is like such a thing, you know, so you have these outdoor markets where they're really festive looking. And of course you have lots of little, you know, handmade things. It's like, yes. It's basically an Etsy shop outside, but for Christmas stuff.
Yes, please.
And there's,
yeah.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of little food. So there's like, roasted chestnuts and hot pretzels and hot wine. Oh. And it's so magical. So
we have a
that's what I've been doing
Chicago.
In
Chicago. Yeah. And
I was literally there yesterday in Chicago. We call it the Chris Kindle Market. It's like a little German themed Christmas market. We drink the hot spiced wine. And,
it's not quite as authentic. What you're seeing.
I like to pretend,
you know,
like it.
I like to pretend. I just speak in German when I
totally.
Get it. Yeah, I will have some wine.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the creation of Bad Yogi.
Well, it was like intentional but also accidental because basically, I've been teaching for a long time. I've been teaching since I was like 17 years old.
Wow.
And it's funny, I've gotten into the habit of saying I've been teaching for almost 10 years. And then it occurred to me the last time I did an interview that I'm like, wait, I'm almost 30. This is not 10 years anymore, you know? So I've been teaching since I was 17. And I for a long time really tried to fit in with the yogis that I was around, the teachers that I was around and I admired. Naturally, I mean, because I respected them and I still do, but they were all of a certain type. And I worked really hard to make sure that they liked me and they respected me because I was already so young and I had complete zero confidence in my ability to teach at all. So I just tried to emulate. And I did that for a few years. And I taught through high school, through college, once I got my first real job. And I always taught part-time. And then once I decided that I was going to quit my corporate job and teach full-time, I kind of had this realization where I thought, you know, if I'm going to teach full-time, like I cannot fake it full-time.
Right.
That's going to be exhausting and that's going to be a really fast way to fail because I really don't know how I would sustain that. And meanwhile, at the time, now he's my husband, but at the time, my boyfriend, Adrian, would always tell me like, well, your teaching style is so unique, you know, you're really different from everybody else. And I was like, yeah, you're full of crap. Like, you just like me, you know? And there was always this back and forth, but he always saw what I didn't see. And so when I decided to quit and just be completely myself and own who I was, I was like, you know what? Yeah, I mean, green juice is nice, but I'm not like obsessed with it. I'm not vegan. I'm not like doing what all these typical yogis do. And he said, he was like, you should be Bad Yogi.
Ooh.
And I thought,
I
was like,
no,
everybody will hate me. Oh my God. Oh my God. And so like, but you know, I kind of warmed to it and I was like, okay, fine, I guess we can do that. And, you know, we started doing videos and of course one thing led to another. But that's kind of how, that was like the short beginning of it, I guess. It was intentional in that we set out to do it, but that's just who I was. So it wasn't like, you know, we had to create this thing. That's always how I taught. That's always what I believed. I just was always afraid to talk about it because I was afraid of getting judged very harshly by the people I wanted to be respected by. Mm-hmm. And there was this awesome phenomenon that happened where when I went full time into teaching and I started just being myself, not aggressively, just putting my beliefs out there. I was just, you know, teaching. Like I decided to drop the facade. This awesome thing happened where on one hand, yes, what I was afraid of happened. I did lose a lot of respect from those people. But on the other hand, I had people coming to me being like, oh my God, me too. Oh my God, I've been waiting for someone to say this, to act this way, you know, and oh, I'm so glad somebody also feels this way. And so then it was like, huh, okay, I guess. Okay, so there are other people like me out there. I have to find them. And it was an interesting journey, I guess, to start it out.
Yeah.
I actually found you right after I finished my teacher training. And that's kind of, I was looking for my voice as a teacher. And that's, you know, I had done my practice teaching and I was very much like, okay, everybody get centered, get grounded. And I was using these words that didn't feel authentic to me. And then when I found you online, I was like, oh, I don't have to be like that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's I love the way you just talk and work with your, you know, students.
Yeah,
so.
Totally awesome.
Yeah, I think like that style works for some people. And I think it is natural to a lot of people who are in this industry. It, like, you know, we all know those people who just exude this spa, you know, like it's just them.
Right.
And that's great. But I think it also, since that's most of what we've seen in the yoga world for the past few decades, we kind of feel like that's the correct way. And then anything outside of that feels kind of scary. Like, if I just talk like myself, is that going to be okay? Or should I be using different words? So yeah, it is like, it is a really intimidating thing to come out of teacher training and not know how to find your voice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
So it is.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you for making it less scary.
Was there like a sudden epiphany, do you think? Or was that just kind of a general, you know, was it Adrian telling you like, oh, hey, you've got to...
Yeah, I honestly think it was, I credit a lot of that to him, because I definitely did not necessarily think myself to be anything particularly different in a good way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was strange because I always used to joke, maybe I knew internally, but nobody recognized it and said it the way he did, because I always taught, like when I've taught part-time, I always taught the later classes on the weekend at like 11 a.m. And I would always joke that my classes were usually fuller than some of the earlier ones. And I would just joke because, like, of course my people come to the 11 o'clock class because they were all partying on Friday night. And so they have to come in at 11 on Saturday, you know, or on Sunday. So it was like, maybe a part of me kind of knew that something was different, but I just didn't name it. You know, it's like, you don't see yourself growing taller, but when you see your grandmother a year later, she's like, wow, you look so tall,
yeah.
or whatever. I think you don't see these things in yourself that other people do. So,
yeah.
It was definitely in large part due to him that we ended up here. Even videos, I'm so, so, so shy, like beyond shy on camera. It's been a huge effort for me to kind of find a groove with being on camera. And even like, he was like, you know, maybe you should do videos too. And I said, that's never going to happen. I will never be on camera ever. And yeah, the first few were complete disasters, but obviously, you know, we found a groove. But yeah, so there's just, it's been really good to have like that other part, you
mm-hmm.
know, who's the opposite of me in many ways. So
that's awesome. That's great. So I want to go back to teacher training real quick.
Yeah.
On our show, we talk a lot about yoga philosophy. Just try and like simplify it, make it easy to understand for our listeners. And we just kind of were wondering if there was a yoga concept from teacher training that just like didn't vibe with you.
I can talk about the obvious one, honestly, which okay, so there's a few things. Oh, there's two I'll talk about. I don't even know how to name it. Obviously, the first one would be like ahimsa, because it's not that and it's not that I don't appreciate people who are vegan or the vegan lifestyle. I find it super noble, and I think that honestly, we all need to be consuming less animal products. We've, in our household, we've cut way back, and like anywhere that we can buy organic, if we're gonna buy meat, we're like, okay, if this is a vote, we're going to vote correctly and the humane and pay the extra €6 for the piece of chicken, you know, like
yeah.
we're going to do it because it's important. So it's not that I didn't, that I don't agree with it. It's just anything that's too rigidly preached, I kind of have a hard time accepting. Something that we've had a lot of conversations about too, is like, the people who made these rules like are just other humans, you know? So like there's really, it's not like God himself came down and was like, here's what you need to be doing or some divine being, like just other humans.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that was always kind of a interesting perspective on all of this. And the second one that I was just going to talk about, what was it? Lost my train of thought talking about that.
It's okay.
I might have to come back to
yeah,
it, but if I think
it.
Of it, I'll just interrupt everything you're saying.
That's totally fine. You can do that.
And I totally agree with the hymns.
Yeah.
It's We eat meat.
Yeah.
We're very big meat eaters.
Yeah. It's just hard to box all of humanity into one box. Like, everyone, this is a one-size-fits-all. Like, that's not true.
No. And it's finding the correct ahimsa for you, you know? I practice ahimsa a lot in terms of my own body. So I need to be careful about not harming myself. So, and again, like what you're saying about organic and making sure that everything's humane, like that's really important to me too.
Yeah.
But also we have to understand that just living our lives, you are an inconvenience to other people.
That's true.
Like just by our very existence, we are going to inconvenience and harm people. And part of it is kind of just balancing that and making sure that we're doing positive things in addition to, you know, the negative shit.
Absolutely.
You do.
Yeah.
Totally. Absolutely. And I think it's important too, to remember that we all have different causes that are extremely important to us. Some of us, that means being vegan because we are really passionate about this cause. But then, you know, I'm also like, where did your cell phone come from? Have you ever shopped at H&M or Walmart? Or, you know, like, what kind of car do you drive? Like, none of us have a completely pure, like you said, have a completely pure existence where we've contributed to no bad things. Like, we all have blood on our hands in that sense.
Right.
That's a heavy way of putting it, but, you know, you get what I'm saying. So I think that it's, you know, there's a lot to be discussed about these things. And the other one I remember now was this I found interesting. So I have a friend of mine here in France. She is a Kundalini yoga teacher. So, you know, it's like very typically very spiritual, very devout people who practice that kind of yoga. And she's very serious about it, but she's also very modern. She's a lawyer and she's very young too. She's like in her 30s or so. And anyway, we were discussing different things and I was talking about, I won't get into detail, but we had kind of a very large, expensive legal situation a couple years ago. And with someone in the fairly prominent in the yoga community. And so anyway, I remember saying like, okay, if we can tell this story publicly and like put it on blast because it's totally wrong and they're being a bully, whatever, whatever. And then I was like, but I can only imagine how the yoga community would probably come at me and be like, wow, you're making this, like you're demonizing this person. Like you need to take the higher road or something like that. And my friend, I was telling her this and she was like, you know, Yogi Bhajan, who's like, you know, one of the father of like Kundalini yoga, he says that, which is, you know, again, one of these people who's like take it very seriously, very traditional, very like grandfather of this style, says that whatever energy is coming at you, you're entitled to meet someone with that same energy. So if someone's coming at you with harmful energy, you're allowed to defend yourself and to stand up and say, hey, you know, you don't have to sit there and be like, I surrender to this horrible experience, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really interesting perspective, one that I don't know that I heard in teacher training or as a common teaching, but something that is very interesting to know, I'll say.
I like that
a lot because, I mean, especially in – people do expect you to like take the high road all the time.
Right.
It's like, no, because then I'm going to be a doormat and then it opens the door for more of that.
Right.
So how do you can't say, oh, you need to learn how to set boundaries, but also take the high road. Those two things don't
that's
correlate.
True.
You've got to choose one or the other. And I'm not a high road person.
I'll take the low road. Okay.
If there's a tunnel, I am through
going through the tunnel.
That's hilarious. Actually, I made a video about this very thing that I'm putting on Facebook on Friday. So like about this exact topic, what you just said. So that'll be fun.
Nice. Can't wait to watch it.
So what's a yoga concept that really does vibe with you?
Oh, there's plenty. I'm trying to pick one that sounds the best for me to talk about.
What's your pet yoga philosophy?
Oh, goodness. You know, I kind of like, okay, so I'll pick this one because I think it applies to so many things. And even though we talk about this a lot in yoga, everybody preaches this in yoga, but almost nobody follows it in general, in yoga and in the rest of the world, but like being accepting of one another. And I'll call myself out too, because even like we saw it with this last election, you know, I mean, it's like, granted, there are many, many views that are infuriating to be around. But, you know, I think that's a good rule to follow, like having a certain compassion for all people and making what I've heard as described as making the most generous assumption about someone. So if someone's racist, let's take something really horrible. Someone's racist and it's like, that person might just be a shit person and they're just an asshole. Mm-hmm. And that's like I'm just going to assume that about most people. But like, what if they just had one traumatizing experience that really deeply affected them and they don't want to be that way, but they are, and they'd have a hard time letting go of it. But we would never assume that of someone that would allow us to have a little compassion. And again, like I do this myself too. So that concept is one that I really appreciate and I really like. And it's one that I try to implement in my life. You know, especially when it comes to divisive things, somehow that goes out the window, whether it's politically or socially or in anything that we would just have a strong opinion on of our, with ourselves, even like in food, you know, like there, of course we all know, you know, like some people who are really strongly against eating meat. If you're having a nice conversation and suddenly you say, man, I could go for a burger. Suddenly, like, you are the devil's child. So I think it's like it resonates with me because I think we all always have a little bit more room to expand our minds a little bit and be like, okay, how can I be more generous in my assumption about this person? Just because you're a vegan doesn't mean you're going to be a jerk to me. So I'm not going to make that assumption. Or just because you have a different belief about this thing than I do, how can I be generous in assuming that you're not just a jerk? You're just, you come from a different perspective. You know, how can I understand it better? So I really like this. And I think it's super important in the world we live in all the time, but today, especially.
Yeah.
Yes. I love
so
that.
So hard.
I know it is.
And
After that, it's just like, I hate everybody.
I know.
I mean, I went through that phase after, you know.
I was really angry. I'm
still angry.
I was so angry.
But you're exactly right. And it's about figuring out these people that, you know, we just say racist and, you know, close-minded. Why? And how are we not serving them? How are we not teaching them, you know, about other lifestyles?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well,
there's a really... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say with the holidays coming up and, like, family, we'll all get a chance to really practice.
To practice.
Yeah, having compassion
for
others.
We already had one of those moments.
I was just talking about that with my brother yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, how are we going to do politics at Christmas this year? How are we going to survive?
My husband cut himself.
Oh, it does. Someone brings it up.
My husband cut himself on a glass on Thanksgiving, so we went to the hospital. But his family was like, you can't go to that hospital. There's gunshot wounds in there.
Oh.
And then it was like, do you mean gunshot wounds or do you mean people who don't look like you? And they know people who don't look.
Oh,
so
no.
We went to that hospital and it was just fine.
And he survived.
He survived.
And
he survived. Wow. He made it to see another day.
He did. With 5 stitches.
Oh, poor Steve.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That was serious then.
Yeah.
Oh, because Katie wanted a Cosmo.
I wanted a Cosmo. What you gonna do? So you talked a little bit about, you know, losing some friends in the yoga community. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, the negativity that you've encountered because of your different take on, like, philosophy and the yoga lifestyle?
Yeah. So now I do feel like I'm very insulated by the community that we have. So I almost feel like I'm surrounded by more of that than I am of the negative. Negative was more close to the beginning, I feel. And I still get it now. It's just, it's easier for it to bounce off in most cases because I feel like, I have so much good stuff around me. I definitely did. And I think what was funny was that I never like called anybody out, right? I never said like, hey, vegans, you're really irritating to me. I never said anything specific about stuff. I only talked about the attitudes, you know? So, like, the judgmentalness, the self-righteousness, the super, like, on their high horse, that was what I said that I didn't like. And funnily enough, even though I never said anybody specific, those were the exact people who were like, wow, you need to really figure out something more sincere here. Like, you know, I remember I wrote something years ago and somebody said that about this topic, and somebody said that I was being disingenuous, and like that just like cut me to my core, because I was like, that is so false. And I used to get really worked up over it. And yeah, I mean, I think all of that stuff is always a little bit hurtful, but I don't know. I guess eventually, honestly, you kind of get immune to it, at least more immune to it. So like I said, if someone said that to me now, it would irritate me, but it wouldn't. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. It's not going to like cut me as deep as it did at the beginning. But at every stage, there's always something that gets to you, you know? So no matter what phase you get to, there's always going to be something that's going to hurt. But yeah, I mean, I can't even say that at the beginning I lost friends, because like if those people were seriously, right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like people who've always been friends of mine are still friends of mine in that world. It's just the people who I thought I could fake it around and gain some respect from, those were the ones that dropped off.
Right. And you didn't meet them in the first place.
Yeah.
So
right, exactly. Yeah. No loss.
Forget them.
Right.
So how do you deal with it?
Yes, especially at the beginning.
Is there
like
a secret?
You know, I don't know if there's really a secret, because honestly, no. I think it comes with just hearing it and hearing it again and again and again. And eventually it's like, oh, you know what? Actually, I think this is part of it. This is part of it, right? Like yeah. If you're doing anything, there's going to be people who aren't going to like you. Even when you're teaching a class in a studio,
oh, yeah.
There will be someone who's like, I hated your music. Why is it so loud? Why did you do this and this? There will always be a critic, you know? And that was something that I really had to learn to manage my expectations around. Because like I said, it would still bother me. Like if I taught a class now and somebody was like, oh, I didn't, that one song you played was like really shrill and I really didn't like it. You know, I would seriously be like, oh, can you believe that they said this about this song? And I would probably dwell on it for a little while. It just, you know, I'm able to bounce back quicker. So yeah, I don't think there's a secret. I think it's just like, understand that every single person, like no matter how loved they are, hears things like this, and it's just part of the journey. Like when you put yourself out there, there's going to be people who just don't like you, you know, and it's actually okay. There will usually be more who do like you, unless your shtick is being hated or something. So yeah, you just have to look for the ones that do love you and surround yourself with as many of them as you can.
Okay, I like that too.
Yeah,
that's
me
good.
Too. I mean, everyone says like you can't please everybody, but we still feel that pressure too.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
of course.
True. Yeah,
yeah, because you're like, okay, well, this person, you know, especially you have a big class and you've got, if it's an all levels,
yeah,
and you're just like, I have to make sure I'm serving this person and serving that person, serving that person. This mm-hmm. person looks bored, but that person looks like they're overdoing it.
Yeah,
it's just
so hard.
Yeah.
So much.
Yep.
It is. Dude, I remember when I first quit my job, I got this teaching. I got a class at a studio, and I got two classes at this studio. And I was a little nervous because it was kind of prestigious. And the teachers I was taking over for were like the most beloved teachers in the city. They were so popular and so loved. And I remember, I don't really think that they communicated that they were leaving like for good, because when I got there and I was so excited, I was like, all right, we're going to do this. And I taught a class that I liked and I was happy with it. And at the end of class, like a group of them came out to me and they were like, hey, so when are this person coming back?
Oh no.
And I seriously was like,
never.
Oh my God. That is, first of all, I was so embarrassed. And then after that, like the next week that I came, I said like, oh, well they, you know, they're gone. They started their own studio. And the next week it took so much time to filter out these people that wanted them, because the following week people came. And then after I started teaching, like six people got up and left because they heard that like, oh, they're not coming back. It was so embarrassing. I mean,
that's so
it's like,
I would have probably cried.
I know. It was very, very difficult. In the grand scheme of things, it's obviously fine. But, you know, when you're in that moment and it's like, what is happening right now? You know, and like I said, it took weeks for these people to slowly filter out and realize that it's me here. So, yeah, that sucked. I forget what your question was now.
I don't remember either.
I don't either.
I think you answered it.
Okay. Yeah, you answered it.
Full story time, but.
Man, that's hard.
So is yoga different in, or is the community different in France? Like, we were talking, we're like, I wonder if they're, like, cooler, if they, like, sit there
hipper.
And smoke. I don't know. Okay. What's
the
difference?
Do you guys smoke cigarettes in class? No.
Practically. Okay, it's completely different. It is nowhere near even remotely the same, honestly. In France, especially the south of France, the yoga community is almost non-existent, especially where I live. There's a couple yoga studios, but it's not very serious. It's extremely expensive. I mean, even probably more than the studios I've paid for in New York. I mean, per class, there's a studio that charges 30 euros per class.
Oh my God.
That's like $40.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's insane. So it's extremely expensive, and it's very, I'll say in general, I think people are, the practice is a little bit, sorry, there's a siren outside.
I thought that was us. I was like,
and I think it's passing. Okay. So it's very expensive. It's very exclusive and very simple. Like, the practice is not very advanced in general. So you're never going to take a yoga class with a handstand in it. You're just not going to see that here. It's extremely different. And the health scene is totally different too, because everybody smokes.
Yeah.
Everybody smokes. I see, like, I go to the gym and there are these really fit, muscly guys with their protein shake, and they walk out of the gym and they smoke, you know? So it's like, you see that everywhere, like outside of doctor's offices.
So bizarre.
Everywhere it's so prevalent. So it's kind of funny, this, you know, like, well, I don't drink soda and I only drink green juice and I'm a vegan, but yeah, here's my pack of cigarettes and they're smoking outside this. Yeah, it's so funny. It's so funny. I don't smoke, so of course and if you don't smoke, you like hate being around it, you know? It's an interesting difference there.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I'm just curious, what was your corporate job? What did you do before teaching full time?
Oh yeah. When I graduated college, I got a job at an investment firm. So I had a great job in finance, and I'm grateful for the experience because it really taught me a lot about money and the economy that I didn't really know. I worked at this firm. It was beautiful. Like, I had floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the city. I mean, we had, like, when President Obama came to Tampa, we like all stood at the window and watched him get off Air Force One.
That's awesome.
And there were snipers on our building. I mean, it was like so, so cool. Yeah, it was for real. And I had upward mobility, and I worked with great people, and I made good money, and it was like, I hated every second of it. Yeah. Every Sunday I was like in a complete, you know, dramatic downward spiral of my mental state, because I just dreaded going into work. And so there was like the pivotal moment with that was like when, I had already been agonizing over whether or not I was going to leave my job and what would I do and blah, blah, blah. We got this email. I went into work one morning, any other morning, and I got this email from HR it was to the whole company, that one of our coworkers, who's 27, was driving to work that morning, and she got T-boned at an intersection, and she died. And I was sitting there reading this, like 8 in the morning, just completely stunned, you know, and I was thinking to myself, I was 24 at the time, and I was thinking, oh my God, like, someday I'm going to die. And what if that day is when I'm coming into work? And is this the job I would want to have? Is this the day I would have enjoyed it having lived? Are these the people I would have wanted to spend it with? And I had this like panicky moment where I was like, okay, I have to do something. Like, I've got to figure something out. And I figured, you know, even if I decided that I would just teach yoga full time, but I figured, okay, if that totally doesn't work out, I'll still have my my trading licenses and I can go back and work in another firm, I'll give myself a year, you know, because they would expire a year later. So I gave myself a year, and that year we did the 30-day yoga challenge, the original one, and things were good enough for us to continue Bad Yogi. But yeah, it was a very stressful decision to make. Yeah. It was not this like romantic book the ticket and go quit your job, buy a tree house, you know, like, yeah. No, it was full of agony and stress and, okay. You know,
that's pretty cool.
That is, yeah. See, everybody's like, oh, you just got to do it. You just got to follow your dreams. And it's like,
it's a little more complicated.
In empty net. Yeah. It's like, yeah. And that's like something you see in the yoga community too. People are like, you just have to, you know, trust that the universe is going to take care of you. I'm like, is the universe going to pay my insurance? Cause
no,
you know,
and that's the thing, like, because I knew this was like, this happened maybe October-ish. And I was like, okay, I gave myself till the end of that year. So I had 3 months, and in those 3 months, I saved as much money as I could. I had already had a little savings, but I started saving a lot. I was hustling so hard to book as many classes as possible, as many clients as possible. Like, I worked, and I wasn't going to quit my job unless I knew I had a little cushion and I knew I had a plan. So I definitely do not think that we need to follow any of that advice that says, just do it, just jump into the nothingness and hope it works out. That's a terrible idea.
And yeah. Somebody tells me it like once a week, and I'm like, I'm just not doing that. Stop it.
Yes, and it's just bad advice. So, you know, it was something that I planned really meticulously, and I think as everyone should. I don't think being reckless is like sexy at all.
No, it's not. It's definitely, I love that. Let's talk a little bit about your Perfect Body program that you have out. Like, tell us about what it is. How did it come to be?
And most importantly, like the community, did you envision the community? Because when I signed up, I was like, sweet, you know, videos and blah, blah, blah. And then I joined the Facebook community and it just, holy crap. Yeah. Just like every day I'm, you know, meeting people on there and just conversing and the support through that.
It's crazy.
Positivity. Yeah, I love it. Is that what you envisioned or?
That was like the dream. That was the dream. Like the community element is, I'll go back to the other stuff in a second, but the community element was like one of those things that we were like, okay, we would love for everyone to be positive and just kind of come together and it be a thing. But you know, you can't just expect a group of strangers to do that. Right. So we were prepared, rightfully so, to, you know, start conversations and ask questions and encourage people and all this stuff. And the first few days, it just, people did it on their own. Like, boom, they jumped in and they were like automatically the best, coolest cheerleaders, friends, accountability partners you could think of. And we thought, well, this is the initial like hype. Everybody's excited. And it has just continued. I mean, I don't know how we've managed to attract the nicest people on the internet, but somehow like that's who lives in this community. It's ridiculously dreamlike and amazing. And so we didn't do anything specific for that to happen. It's just the wonder that is, you know, the people in Bad Yogi. I think they're amazing. They're amazing. And it came to be, this program came to be when, let's see, it was shortly after we moved to France. We wanted to do something new for the community, and we were, you know, throwing around different ideas, and, while at the same time, I was also struggling a little bit in getting adjusted here. So when we moved, the first year was pretty choppy and kind of challenging to settle, but I didn't really think about it. The second year that we were here, suddenly it all hit me and I started feeling really lonely and homesick and like I untethered to my work and to things around us. And that's when we started working on this idea, this program. And really the building of the Perfect Body Yoga program really kind of rebuilt the connection with myself and me with the community. Like, it's based on the idea, as you know, that the perfect body is really just the healthiest version of the one you already have. You know, I'm not sitting there on the cover like, okay, this is what you can get. Or, you know, there's no fitnessy looking models or anything. It's like, what's really cool, that actually I wrote like a random thing, I haven't posted it yet, but I was thinking about this the other day, is that when people share their like progress pictures, there's some people who do like the typical, you know, before and currently, and it's like you see a physical difference. And then there's people who are like, look, this is like the split before and the split now, or the back bend before and the back bend now. And it's like not all of the classes are pose specific, but it's amazing how your body needs to evolve. It does, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, maybe the program didn't necessarily change my splits, but it changed this person's. And yeah, like, right. Wow, like your body just will kind of take on the change and the progress that it needs the most. And so that's the really cool thing, is that it's not just about like, oh, get a six pack, or right. oh, lose 12 pounds, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. It's like, this is really about feeling good, about establishing a habit, establishing a routine, not trying to sort through YouTube and be like, what do I do today? I don't know. You know, like taking away that stress. Give people something that works, that makes you feel great. And of course, like you said, you have this amazing community to kind of pull it all together,
right.
that, you know, is just, it's amazing. Yeah. So it's been something that's really, it's been helpful and healing for me to create and to be a part of, and for a lot of other people as well.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Bad Yogi Studio? I haven't dived into that yet, but I'm really excited.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So this is actually kind of funny timing, because we launched the Bad Yogi Studio, which is like a digital studio where all my classes live, all my premium, like full length classes that are not PBYP. So this is not a structure. The studio is not structured. It's just like a library of classes that I organize by type. Totally lost my train of thought again. there it is. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. And yeah, so it's just a bunch of classes that are there. And we launched it the first time, and we built it ourselves. I didn't build it, but other people built it. And it was a little bit like, we were really proud of it and really excited to get it out, but there was something about it that wasn't right. So we actually like closed it up, redid it, just relaunched it like a few weeks ago. And now it's like, it's smooth. There's no little bugginess. There's nothing, like nothing to complain about. It's amazing. And we also added forums to it finally.
Yeah.
So yeah. So now there's like actual conversations happening. And should I? Yes. Okay. So you're the first ones to hear about this, because we literally just got the email like 40 minutes ago. There's a Bad Yogi Studio app.
Awesome. That's exciting.
I'm very excited.
That's
because
so cool.
That's something that I've like been wanting.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard to like have the computer there.
Yeah.
And I see that like in the community all the time. People are like, oh, I just need an app. So that's really exciting.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
Yes. And it was crazy because like apparently everybody, when we were building the app, it was like, oh, it's super easy. You're going to submit it to the Apple Store. And then it takes like 48 hours max for it to get approved. Well, that was 3.5 weeks ago. And so we were like, and they even said to us, they were like, wow, this has never happened before. We don't know what's going on. So, you know, it was like a long, slow process, but we're so excited. I am like, I haven't told anybody this because we just got the email, but yeah, it's just for Bad Yogi Studio. So the PBYP stuff isn't in there.
Okay, okay.
This is just the other classes, but the great thing is that they're going to be downloadable. So
yes,
and that's huge, because like
not
having,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can just take it with you. I'm just so excited. So yeah, that's a little bit about what that is.
So can we download it like right now? Like we can go on our phones and download it, or is it not quite
apparently
available yet?
Well, it's ready, but it takes how many hours to show up in the store potentially? It takes up to 24 hours to show up in the store.
Okay.
So it might be there tonight. It might be there tomorrow, but it's done. It's approved. It just has to like show.
Yeah. Well, by the time we have this episode out, it will be available to download. So that's super
exactly.
cool.
In the Apple Store. And
yeah.
This weekend I'll send an email. So you'll probably see that from me.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, we have one more question for you. Do you have any
okay.
new and exciting projects coming up that you are able to tell us about?
Yeah. Well, I'm writing a book, which I've talked a lot about on social media. And also, I think I've only mentioned this to Well, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm writing a book. Everybody knows that, but, I'm excited about it. I'm very nervous about it. Mm-hmm. This is like one of those things that I've wanted to do for a long time. Before I was a yoga teacher, before I was anything, I was a writer. That was like what I was going to do in my life, you know? And I fell away from it for a long time and I finally got back to it. And now it's about halfway done, the book, but it's like a long, slow process because of so many reasons. Yeah. but it's not going to be a traditional yoga book. It's not a book of poses. This is like part memoir, part like fun. I guess really like memoir is the best way to describe it. Part memoir, part yoga self-help book. My editor described it as like in the same category as Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, So she's like, it's like, it's funny. She thinks it's funny, but hopefully she's not lying to me. And it'll be like essay based, story based. Hopefully it'll be a fun read, but it won't be what people expect. But, hashtag bad yogi, right?
Yeah. Well, what a great category
so
to be in. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler.
If somebody compared me to them, I'd be like, I'm never writing anything again. I'm just going to rest on these laurels and call it a day.
Well, luckily, I don't, she's known me for a while. And so this is something that she's always known I wanted to do too. She would be honest with me though. So she has told me like, this isn't good what you have in this spot, that you need to get rid of this. So hopefully, it's an honest, it's an honest review, but yeah, I'm excited about it.
Very cool. We're looking forward to
it. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Can we take a selfie with you?
Yeah. Can we take a selfie with you?
Duh.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to look super awkward.
No,
ready?
It's going to look so great.
All right. Should I get really close to the camera so you can see me?
We'll get you up here. All right, ready? We can cut all the chatter out of that.
We got ourselves.
Oh, don't worry.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, we appreciate it so much. So thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much.
We are so excited to have had Erin Motz on of Bad Yogi. Oh.
Official interview in the books.
Nailed it. Done.
Nailed it.
We'll be honest with you guys. We were super nervous.
So nervous.
And Erin made it a pleasure. And we're so grateful for her.
Yeah.
We'll see you next episode on WTF Yoga Podcast. Like and subscribe on iTunes. Check out our website.
Email us at WTFYoga@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or concerns.
WTFYogaPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, what Katie said.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
What the fuck?
Hey, everyone. Katie here. Check out badyogi.com for all the good stuff, including the Perfect Body Yoga Program and Bad Yogi Studio that we talked about on today's show. Also, download the Bad Yogi Studio app in the iTunes store for Erin's bold brand of yoga when you're on the go. For links to all this, check out the show notes at wtfyogapodcast.com/listen. If you liked today's show, please subscribe to WTF Yoga Podcast on iTunes, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram. Bye!